Okay. Well, we're heading towards the food pit stop after the caffeine pit stop. So let's crack on. I'm just going to show you, if we could go to, let me just advance that on. One thing, I just want to show you a practical thing. Look at that there. Let me tell you about something that CVM's doing around the world before we look at this narrow path stuff. Because this fits into what we were doing, talking about earlier. There's a problem going on around the world called the global sex industry. And you'll know that blokes love a good stag do. They love a stag do, don't they? Have you ever been to a stag do? No? Yes. Come on. Somewhere it's okay. You can go on an illegal, well-behaved stag do, apparently. A good Christian stag do, but men like going on stag do's, and they used to go to Prague. It was quite popular. People go to Prague for cheap beer and the girls and the clubs. But now it's changed because of globalization. A lot of stag do's are now happening in Southeast Asia because you can go to a country like Cambodia, and they use the dollar as their currency. And for a dollar, you can get a Singapore Sling, which is a cocktail with everything in it, including, in Cambodia, probably petrol. A Singapore Sling for 80p. 80p! Probably pay about 12 quid in London or more. And you can buy a girl for a dollar as well. 80p. So you can go out to Cambodia with $10 and you can get absolutely blitzed on alcohol and you can have loads of sex for $10. So these guys are calculating actually for the airfare and the money they need to spend when they're out there. It's cheaper to go to Cambodia to get what you want than it is to go to Prague. Did you know there was no sex industry in Cambodia before the Western aid agencies went out there and started doing their work? The secular Western aid agencies fueled the sex industry and the Christian aid agencies. In a survey that was done amongst Christian aid workers and ministers of the gospel, over 70% had experienced some kind of massage in Phnom Penh. It's a bit of a thing, isn't it? There's a shopping mall in Phnom Penh that's now become a brothel mall. All the shops are closed, and there's a bar, and there's loads of brothels. And you'll see men of all ages, a lot of older men too, and they're sitting at the bars and they're hanging out with young girls, many of them underage, and they've bought them for the day for a few quid for sex and companionship. Sorry if this is unpalatable, but this is the world we live in. This is the broad road. This is the wide path that leads to destruction. It is all around us. So our guys, thinking about harnessing testosterone, you know, how do we harness this? Decided to hire a unit with Love 146. They're not an explicitly Christian agency. We had a guy running Love 146 out there, which is seen to be shut down, actually. A guy called Glenn. He's a Christian. And we conspired together to do something. So we thought, well, let's hire a unit. And let's make you look better than all the other brothels. We'll make you look attractive and welcoming and warm. But we won't call it a massage parlour. We'll call it the message parlour. And we'll put it right next to a massage parlour. Because when a bloke's drunk at 1 o'clock in the morning, he doesn't notice that it says message parlour. He still thinks it says massage parlour. And he goes in there, and instead of getting a girl, he gets a coffee and a tub of Ben and Jerry's. And he gets the gospel. It's been so impacting that we had a 14-year-old girl walk in there over a year ago. She's being raped every day by the CEO of a German aid agency. Every day. 14. And she walked in there one night and said, "Can you rescue me? Can you get me out?" And because of our connections out there, we were able to get her and her family into a safe house, rescued, and still okay to this day. And we were able to pursue a prosecution with the authorities on the CEO of the aid agency and see some justice brought to bear. And why am I mentioning that? Well, it's a graphic illustration of what we're going to look at, which is the narrow path and the wide path. If you can imagine that either side of this is for real, either side of that are brothels. And in the middle, there's this little unit called the narrow path. It's a beacon of light for justice and hope and a kingdom in a very dark place. Very easy to go either side, anonymously, into the territory of the wide road. Very hard to do that and be a beacon of light in a dark place. Can you imagine that the pressure they are under? Young men running that. Can you imagine the pressure? That's, many of you know Steve Martin. That's Steve Martin sitting in the foreground. That's Glenn, who runs the project. They're sitting there in the background. Gutsy stuff. Harnessing testosterone for good or not ill. But let me tell you something. This isn't just in Southeast Asia. This is all around us. On our watch, in our time, there is injustice within a 5-mile radius of this church. All over the place. And God has called us to harness our testosterone for good and not ill. We have to get our lives in order so that we can fight. But here's the strange kind of the conundrum, really. What I've noticed is this. As men, if we just stay passive and don't behave like we're in a fight, we actually fall into sin. We don't get excited about the gospel. But if we understand that we're called to a fight for truth and justice and hope and the cause of the gospel, it actually switches you on. You start getting more passionate about your prayer life and reading the Bible, and I think many of us are growing cold in our devotional time or in our inner joy or interactions with people because we've lost the sense that we're in a fight. When Jesus really got hold of me and I understood that I was in a battle, that in my time there were millions of people going to hell, it actually brought my Bible reading alive. It actually brought holiness alive to me. What it meant to stand a narrow path because I wanted to be effective for Jesus. So I actually found a joy in pursuing the things of the kingdom. Why aren't it becoming torturous, which is the way it's meant to be? You know, and I started to look around at a church that seemed to be asleep. There people were moaning again about the car parking. Or, you know, he spoke 2 minutes over time. Come on! It's a battle to be had, isn't it? So Jesus said this, very simple passage. Enter through the narrow gate. Matthew 7:13. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I'm going to talk very briefly about gold, glory, and girls, the three G's. And then what I want us to do, after a bit of time of just unpacking it, is I want us to do something that is very countercultural for a men's day, and that is actually to turn around and talk to each other about it, which I know you're going to hate. But I want to get under your skin a bit. I want you to talk about it. And if you're sitting there thinking, but I've been following Jesus for 50,000 years, and he's only 43 standing at the front, I'm double his age, I know all this. Well, get over it. You can help a younger man, can't you? We all need each other. Those who have wisdom can impart it to other people. And just maybe, if we humble ourselves, we'll learn something from a younger guy too. We're all learning all the time, aren't we? So this is the journey that I've been on. We look at gold, glory, girls very quickly. I used to be a bit of a money boy. Like money. Always like money. Grew up East End family. Always liked to have a bit of money. My dad, after a career in the police, made a bit of money. And I wanted to make money. So after I met Jesus, I wasn't going to join the army, didn't join the army, got a job in a bank. I was a salesman in London. Earned a fortune. Loads of money. I ended up spending it on church planting, but that's the point I'm going to make in a minute. Loads of money. Can I remember walking along the road with Karen, 22 years old. What should we do this weekend? Let's go to Paris. Okay, let's go to Paris. Just phone up. British, I couldn't go online in those days. Did my whole degree without a computer. Engineering degree without a computer. Imagine that. Didn't even have a mobile phone. Two-piece slot on a payphone. Anyway, so I was thinking, let's go to Paris, go to Paris. You want a new car? Buy a new car. It's a money thing. Now I said to Jesus in the end, I said, oh, just getting serious about this gospel stuff. Felt God call me. So long story short, I walked out of the bank when I was 24 and to plant a church on a council estate, but I had a bit of money in the bank. I was well provided for. I wasn't paid for 18 months, but I thought it's going to be all right. I've got a bit of money in the bank. Got to cut loads of detail out on this, but this is what happened. It was a process of deconstruction. If you are serious about following Jesus, what he does is, and you'll notice this in Jesus' interactions with people, he arrows in on the stronghold in their life and he pulls them apart. I mean, the stuff Jesus does is wild. If you read the Bible with new eyes, it's wild. Incredible stuff. You know, the rich young ruler, you know, when he said, you know, basically give up all your possessions, I mean, he really meant it. Because he looked into that guy's heart and he's saying, that's your stronghold. You're good at all the other stuff, but that's the weak area. That's what he did all the time. That's what he did to me. So we moved on to the council estate. But the backstory was this. I come home from meetings one day. My wife is a civil servant. Find her crying on the bed. So what are you crying for? So I just read that bit in Matthew. So what bit is that? She said that verse, it says, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I said, oh, that's a good bit, isn't it? She said, yeah, but that's us. Went, no, it's not. She said, yeah, she said, we've got to give up our home. Went, no, we haven't. That's not what Jesus meant. What Jesus meant was this. And we're good at saying that, aren't we? When Jesus said this, what he meant to say was that, that's what commentaries often do. But what he meant was this. When he made the fig tree wither, what he really was meaning to say was that. When he said give all your possessions poor, what, you know, it doesn't mean you've got to do that. It means you've got to have the heart to do it. You know, if you've got the heart to do it, it's all right. It's a Western cop-out. I'll be honest, it's a Western cop-out. So anyway, I said to Karen, she said, look, you want to plant this church on this estate, you've got to move there. I mean, I don't know about that. This has been the problem of my life. Over 20 years I've been married to Karen, known each other for 25 years. Been going out for 25 years, married for 20 years. I've been a preacher for 20 years. I preach it, she does it. So annoying. So anyway, long story short, move on to a council estate. Council house, rubbish house, really in bad repair, didn't have any money to do it up. I've got no job, but I've got a bit of money in the bank. Still got a bit of money in the bank. Money starts going down. 1996. Got £1,000 left in the bank. 1990, it's 20 years ago, it's a lot of money. That's all right, I mean, you know, it lasts for a few months. Go around and I visit a family. Bloke's dying of emphysema. Got a very talented artist daughter. I was having a cup of tea, and the bloke says, he said, I'm a bit upset about something. I said, what's that? He said, I can't afford to put my daughter through art college. So there's a particular course she needs to do to pursue the fashion career she wants to do. She's very talented, can't send her. She's going to have to get a job in Argos or something. I said, how much is it going to cost to send her to art college? He said, £1,000. Oh, no. So I'm just sitting there, and inside my heart, I feel God saying to me, give him £1,000. At the time, I thought it was an imaginary conversation. I've since learned this is how the Holy Spirit stirs your conscience. But my sort of theological background, I thought it was an imaginary conversation. I now understand it was the Holy Spirit was talking to me. And the conversation went like this. But if I give him £1,000, I won't have £1,000. The Holy Spirit said, given the money. I suppose it don't make any sense. Given the money. So I went home to Karen and I said, look, this bar is £1,000. So if I give him £1,000, we won't have £1,000. Don't make any sense. She went, given the money. Ah. But I didn't like it. I'll be honest, I didn't enjoy it. I would put £1,000 anonymously through their door saying, a gift towards art college. Put it through the door. I can remember walking away from the door thinking, that's mad. Got no money. It's like, I've literally have fiver left. She's crazy. Now, you're going to think, I'm now going to say, and the next day, 20 grand came through the post. No, that's ridiculous theology. That didn't happen. I just didn't have £1,000 anymore. So that's what happened for me. Don't believe the rest of it. So that was that. Anyway, we had some people give us a bit of food and stuff, and I did some odd bits of jobs to get a little bit of money. We were bumping along, scraping by. It was really tough. But what I did have was a car. I had a J-Reg Escort Estate. Lovely. J-Reg Escort Estate. Go and visit another family. You what? It was a 1990. Late J. That means a lot. That's an extra £100 on the price, isn't it? Go and visit this family and this single mum. And she says, oh, it's so terrible. She said she escaped a violent marriage. She had to move. She had to now take her kids 10 miles to school on a bus. She couldn't get a local school place. She said, if only I had a car. Went home to Karen and said, before I give him a car, I won't have a car. Karen says, give him a car. So we drove around there together, because you can't do that anonymously, sign a car over. Woman's in tears. I'm in tears and all. My car. Don't have a car. Walk home. Karen said, you need to get on a bicycle, put on a bit of weight, and you get yourself a bike. So I got a little old mountain bike. That was that. A few weeks later, what I did have was a nice watch from my London career. I had a Tag watch. Nice watch. Walking down the road, that's all I got left. I got a nice watch, a nice coat. Walking along with my watch, bloke coming the other way. I felt this inner voice say, ask him the time. I've got a watch. Ask him the time. So it's ridiculous. So I stop this fellow and I say, look, I know this is going to sound a bit strange, but I'm a local pastor. And I was walking along praying, and I just felt I should say to you, what's the time? I said, I know I've got a watch, but I'm just saying, what's the time? And he said, that's amazing. He said, my family and I, we just come over from Jamaica. I'm an English teacher. I'm a committed Christian. He said, I've been looking for a church. I thought, wow. He said, I'm feeling so unsettled here. We've been crying before God. Can we find a church where there's people of God and blah, blah, blah. I thought, wow, that's amazing. He still took me watch, though. I thought he wasn't going to take me watch. He actually had me watch off me, and he went to another person's church. So I thought, what's that about? So anyway, about a fortnight after that, I'm walking up to the church. I've got me 3/4 length black suede jacket on. See, a down and out guy. I mean, Ben's here from Billericay. He used to be in my church in Billericay at the back there. He will tell you there weren't many people saying the big issue up Perry Street, were there?
Not at all.
Exactly. Oh, apart from this day. And there's this bloke there up Perry Street where the church was, down and out guy with copies of the big issue. I said, hello. He said, hello. I said, I've never seen you around here before. Always talk to a bloke saying the big issue. Amazing when you hear their stories. Always have a chat with them. Bless them. Buy a magazine and take it. It's my advice. Just bless them. It's a good thing to do. So have a little chat. Do you know what he says to me? He comes up to me and goes, feels the sleeve of my coat. He says, that's a nice coat. I thought, oh, here we go again. So I gave him my coat. I go and preach at the church in Perry Street. I come out, it's pouring in rain. So I go, I'm soaked. I said, Karen, what are you doing? I said, I saw this guy saying a big issue. I gave him my coat. She said, what'd you do that for? I thought, well, how does that work? Every other time, you told me to do it. She said, what'd you do that for? I tell you, this is amazing. This is what is the amazing bit. It was that evening, we were watching a programme on TV. And a knock on the door came. She was living on the estate, and a woman was at the door who I'd led to Christ a few months earlier. And she was standing there carrying a big bag. And she said, Karen and I were watching a drama programme, actually, where there's a bloke on TV wearing a leather jacket. And she said, that's the kind of coat that would suit you. I said, yeah, it's £100, I haven't got any money. This woman knocks on the door, she's carrying a big bag. She said, I took this round to my boyfriend. She said, but it was too big for him, so I thought it'd fit you. Built like a fridge. She hands me the bail. Look in there, it's a black suede leather jacket. I put it on, it's a perfect fit. I just walked in. Karen's still watching the drama programme on TV. I went, check this out. And it was deconstruction. Because the money thing, it was under my skin. For me, it wasn't just about having the money, it was where I was putting my trust. You can have a lot of money in the bank, but put your trust in God, Or you can put a lot of money in, have a lot of money in a bank and actually use it as a shield. Do you know the most underfunded work in the kingdom is evangelism? Can you believe it? The church, the average giving in a church is 3% of income. We are meant to be the rescue stations in the yard of hell. One of the most underfunded charities in the country. Evangelical churches and evangelism. It says everything, doesn't it? It's because we don't put our trust in God. I think God likes to keep us a little bit lean financially so that we're dependent and not use the pastors or leaders to do it on our behalf. I think that's our calling, is use what God's given us. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. It's walking a narrow path. Gold. What about glory? It's very interesting when you become a minor Christian celebrity. In a very small pond. Ridiculous, isn't it? You know, but some people have said, we have got a radio show now on Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Premiere, it's called Shed Talk. It's ridiculous banter. Do tune in, you get it online as well. So you have a radio show. Your face appears in magazines. You go on Christian TV. You speak on main platforms at conferences. You go to Christian events, which is a very small percentage of the population. People recognise you. Your name starts to go out there. It starts to have an impact on you. It starts to feed your ego. You can have it in organisations. You can have it in your friendship groups. People stroking you. Butting you up. The flip side of that is, of course, insecurity as well. Well, I came to a radical decision about myself this year. I was thinking CVM's gone. It's gone around the world now. You know, and it's one of the biggest Christian men's festivals over a weekend in Europe. Now, it's on an upward trajectory. I thought, if I keep going with this, I'll become globally known for doing men's ministry. I mean, it's happening now. But I thought, that's not right. CVM should be known for its aims and objectives, not a person, isn't it? And there are too many Christian leaders or secular leaders use things as a vehicle for their own popularity. Politics, industry, banking, you see it all the time. Well, I came to a decision. I haven't had a boss for 18 years. Been leading things for 18 years. I thought, actually, it's time to change. So I'm going back on the board of CVM on the 31st of January, and I'm going to take up a job with another organisation. So I'm still going to have a hand in CVM. I'm going to do the gathering and the radio show and a few other things. I'm not going to draw my income from it anymore, because I decided there comes a time in a man's life where you have to lay down your self-interest for the higher call of the kingdom. Because actually CVM should be about all of you guys, not about one person at the front. The ego is one of the most powerfully destructive forces there is. There's a film called Devil's Advocate, if you've seen it, and it's the devil ensnaring a lawyer. And right at the end he says, vanity, my favourite sin. And it's ridiculous, isn't it, if you think about it? Gold, glory. What about girls? Let's talk about girls. If you have a penis and a pulse, you are under risk of sexual temptation. Basically, we could end the talk there, but we won't. I want to talk about how we come off the narrow path when it comes to girls, or any of these things. How do we stay on a narrow road? Why do we come off it? I had a mate, when I planted that church on the estate in 1996, I had a very close friend. We shared the same birthday. He was better looking than me, taller, slimmer, more gifted. Good guy, I didn't like him that much, actually, come and think of it. Taller, slimmer, better looking, worship leader, sporty, good guy, bright, nice family. And then one morning, on the morning of our 40th anniversary service as a church, a crowd of people came up to me, and three or four of my leaders, and said, have you heard the news? About an hour before it was all going to kick off, we had about 1,000 people coming. MP, mayor, all that kind of stuff. I said, have you heard what's happened? I said, what's happened? And this guy, let's call him Dave. He said, this guy, Dave, he said, he's gone off with, let's call the girl, Faye. He said, Dave's gone off with Faye. That's I know another couple called Dave and Faye work with me, but that's not them. Okay, it's just nearly so I was to protect their names. And I said, you what? See, he had performed a wedding for this woman, Faye, 6 months earlier. He had been a presiding clergyman for Faye and her husband and said, let no man separate. And now he had gone off with a new bride. 6 months later, he was due to leave worship, jumped into bed with this woman, having an affair. It had all broken out that morning. Now that raises a question. How do you go from being a man of God, walking on a narrow path, to suddenly taking a massive leap and jumping into bed with another woman? Now, I would contend that that doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it might do, but I think there's always a backstory to that kind of thing. I think what blokes do is this. If this carpet is the narrow road, I think what we do is this. We centre ourselves on it, and then we just slightly start to veer off course. There's two ways it happens. One is we just go 1 degree off course. So if I'm pursuing the, or 5 degrees or whatever, I'm pursuing the narrow path, but I just start going like this, just slightly off. And eventually, over many years, I end up way off. 1 degree off for many, many years takes you masses of miles off over a long period of time. So much so that over a period of time, you can't even see where the narrow path is anymore. And you remember the story of Samson. When Samson went out to fight the Philistines and he had his hair cut, he said the Spirit of God had left him and he didn't even know. Because he was a Nazarite, wasn't he? He'd taken a vow, don't touch dead bodies, don't drink alcohol, don't cut your hair. Well, he touched the carcass. He was always hanging out at parties. He was a party animal, so we could presume he probably had alcohol. And it wasn't because he had his hair cut and lost his strength. It was a straw that broke the camel's back and the anointing left him. But the anointing of God left him, but he didn't realise because he had so desensitised himself. So I think what happens is this. You go 1 degree off course. And that might be the kind of things we talk about when no one's looking. The amount of alcohol we consume when no one's looking. The kind of TV programs we watch. The kind of culture that we create around ourselves. The little shades of grey when it comes to our expenses claims or our tax claims or our personal assessment. In other words, our self-assessment, our taxes. In other words, the things that numb and blunt the Spirit of God in our lives. You just slightly start to desensitise yourselves. And some things are just like a bit of a shade of grey. It doesn't look that bad. But over a long period of time, it just starts to tip you off the narrow path. Do you follow me? You know, it goes a bit like this. You and your wife are not being as intimate as you'd like. And then someone at the office starts paying you attention. They laugh at your jokes. No one's laughed at your jokes for years. And they start paying you a bit of attention. And then you find yourself, you just chat a bit online. Or you have a secret mobile phone that the missus doesn't know about. Or a separate email account. And you know, it's just like vague deception stuff is going on. Or the comments, you're just a bit flirty maybe. Could be just like that. And then you find yourself wanting to spend a bit more time together. So you always make sure your staff break is at the same time as their staff break. Or you're hanging out working late after work when they're working late after work. And at a Christmas party, you hang out together a little bit. A couple of years later, you find yourself kissing. Short period of time after that, you're in bed together. Short period of time after that, you've lost everything. And it started off in a conversation you shouldn't have been having. It took you onto a 1 degree off course. Now, I'm saying it because I see the effects of this all the time. And here's the bottom line. This is what actually happens. You wake up one morning and next to your new wonder sex bomb, sex machine girlfriend, and you think everything's amazing. And she turns around to you and she says, and you've lost your wife and your kids aren't talking to you. And she wakes up the next morning, she said, you didn't put the toilet seat down this morning. You're exactly back to square one, exactly where you were 5 years earlier. He said, you've lost everything. Madness. So we either go the 1 degree off course, or we start to kick the edge out a little bit, like we're doing a bit of gardening. And we just make the edge a little bit wider, so it becomes a little bit easier to stay on a narrow path. And in the end, you end up with a superhighway. You don't know where truth begins or ends. That's what blokes do. And I see it all the time. And it's a discipline called to stay on a narrow path. And what I've noticed are, it's the three G's. It's the money, it's the ego, it's the girls. Be one of those things fueled by testosterone. So here's the question which would be good, or the questions that might be good to discuss. What do you think are the strategies that we need to employ to stop doing that? How can we help each other to stay on course? What stories have you got where people have failed to stay on course? Is that naming and shaming people? But where have you seen it go wrong, and what can we pull back? Now, what scriptures do you think apply to you? What, you know, what personal things, lessons have we learned that we can pass on to others? Let's have a general conversation about it. If you want to, I don't know if there's any tea or coffee, but it would be good just to mix it up a little bit and talk about it. And I suppose the way to get a conversation going in something like this would be, rather than say, you know, my name's Dave and I struggle with sexual temptation, the way to get a conversation would be something like this. I agree with this in what Carl said, and I disagree with that. And then get a conversation going. Because I don't care if you disagree with me, I just want you to talk about it. So, all right. So maybe, you know, to actually do the countercultural thing and treat each other like brothers in Christ and talk to each other about something meaningful. Is that all right? Well, no matter. It's over to you, really, because I think that'd be a good use of our time.